expand the area. It was clear. Junior, stay where you are. I'm coming in for a quick hug because I need some affection from a friend. You okay with that? I'll back off fast, just in case anyone is watching. He smiled and put his arms out.
Get over here, little dragon. Your alpha wants a hug.
I giggled and wrapped my arms around him in the same way I wished I could wrap my arms around my long-dead brothers. It felt so nice and warm and safe.
Unhand her, now!
Nikolai's furious voice bellowed across the field.
I like you, Junior, but I can't control this shit right now. I'd hate to send you back to Georgia in a box.
Junior backed away quickly with a laugh. He raised his hands in the air to prove he meant no harm.
She's all yours, dragon,
Junior called out as he walked away.
And she's a handful. Good luck.
Thankfully, Lenny and Seth were holding the seething Nikolai back. I'd never forgive myself if something happened to Junior or anyone else here because of me. Taking a deep breath, I made a decision and crossed the field. Taking advice from others had never been my forte, but a couple of the things Junior had said made sense. At least I hoped they did. I stopped in front of the angry dragon. My presence seemed to calm him. Seth, Lenny, thank you, I said. Could you give us a minute here? They nodded and left. Nikolai eyed me cautiously. He was still ready to blow, but I could tell he was fine as long as I was near. I want you to meet me in my suite at 7 tonight. Can you do that? He was speechless as he narrowed his eyes in confusion. I watched him search for the catch. Cat got your tongue? I asked with a smirk. My calm tone belied my churning insides.
No, he said slowly. I'm just trying to figure out if I'm being played here.
You're not.
You're sure?
He asked, meaning far more than just the fact I'd asked him to my suite. Very, I said as I turned and walked away. I was aware that his eyes were glued to my ass, but I'd have done the same to him. I could be making a grave mistake, but I was going in with eyes wide open. If it went poorly, Daniel was nowhere near, and he would always be safe. My baby was my first and most important concern, and that would never change. Chapter 14. Does this look okay? I asked Maria as I stood in front of the mirror and stared at my image with a critical eye. The fitted green dress matched my eyes and showed just enough cleavage to be sexy, not slutty. It was quite short and flirty and, shit, what in the hell was I doing? Maria laughed at me as she valiantly tried to rearrange the pillows and throws in my suite to cover the scorch marks all over the furniture.
You could wear a garbage bag and you'd be gorgeous, she replied, finally satisfied that she'd covered the worst of the damage that Nikolai and I had caused to my living quarters the other day. You're just silly, I said as I flopped down on a chair and began to second-guess my hasty decision to invite Nikolai into my lair.
Nope, I'm honest. And while I'm being honest, I'd really like to borrow those shoes at some point. They fucking rock.
You can borrow anything you want if you clean up that mouth of yours.
I told her with a laugh as I glanced down at the fabulous nude Chanel stilettos my niece so admired.
You sound like a mother, she shot back with an eye roll.
I am a mother. Her observation made my stomach sink. Could I really tell Nikolai about Daniel? If he was furious, would he go after my child? In my heart, I didn't think so. But I also didn't think fathers were capable of murdering mothers and sons, or chasing their daughter for hundreds of years to kill her. My warped version of family life haunted me endlessly. I suppose it colored everything I did.
So you're going to tell him about Daniel?
Maria asked as she sat on the arm of my chair and smoothed my wild curls out of my face. I think so.
What does it feel like to find your true mate?
She asked with huge eyes and a grin. It's fucked up, I muttered.
Wait, I'm not allowed to talk like that, but you are?
She demanded as she shoved me over and wedged herself into the chair with me.
You're right, I'm sorry. That was uncalled for. But it's still accurate, I told her, turning my body sideways so we could both fit. We were smushed, but it was wonderful. I was nose to nose with my brother's beautiful, foul-mouthed, precious child. Never in my wildest dreams did I think this moment would happen.
"I want you to mate with him," she whispered as she traced my nose with her finger. "I just found you. I don't want you to die."
"It's not that simple," I told her, closing my eyes and enjoying her touch. If it was, I would have followed my instincts immediately.
"Do you love him?"
"I'm not sure I even know what that means," I admitted. "I know I love Daniel, and I love you. That I understand." Maria's eyes misted, and she pressed her forehead to mine.
"I love you, too. Do you know how I know?"
"How?"
"There is no doubt in my mind that I would die for you, and Daniel. I've not laid eyes on him, but I feel a possessiveness that I've never known."
I sat up and pulled her with me. Putting my arms around her, I hugged her. I would do the same for her and Essie and my friends in Hung. Slowly, I let my mind consider if I would step willingly into peril for Nikolai. Would I? The thought of harm coming to him made me breathless and agitated. My dragon perked up and slid close to the surface, confirming that she too would let nothing happen to the leader of the resistance.
God, was this what love felt like?
It was terrifying, annoying, horrible, and wonderful. Pushing the thoughts away, I stood and checked my reflection one last time. The armor was in place. However, the woman underneath was a mess.
"I'm leaving. Nikolai will be here soon," Maria said as she stood next to me and caught my eyes in the reflective glass. "Follow your instincts and your heart. If it's not meant to be, I will take care of you at the end, and then I will watch over Daniel."
I stared at the floor because words wouldn't come. "But please remember that I want you to stay." Silently, Maria let herself out as I was still trying to pull myself together. I'd had 3 glasses of wine that did little to nothing to calm my nerves when the knock at the door I'd been expecting came. I stood on shaky legs that I couldn't blame on the alcohol and slowly approached it.
"Who is it?"
I called out and then smacked myself in the head.
"Are you serious?" Nikolai sounded amused but tense.
Opening the door, I stepped back and let him in. I was glad I'd something to hold on to because he dressed up, and my knees became jelly in response. He wore his usual jeans, but he'd added a navy sport coat and a pinstriped green tailored shirt. His sheer beauty simply wasn't fair.
"You take my breath away, Dima," he said as he stared at me.
"Back at you," I said shakily. "Would you like something to drink?" I moved away so I didn't lay my head on his chest and pour out my story all at once. Timing was crucial.
"Water would be good,"
he said as he moved into the living room, taking up all the space. He was large, but it wasn't just his size. It was everything about him. "Here you go," I said as I handed him a glass of water, and then crossed to the other side of the room.
"I don't bite," he said with a chuckle as he sat on the couch and patted the seat next to him.
"I beg to differ." I shot back with a grin, remembering how he'd chomped on my fingers the first time we met. I carefully made my way to the couch and sat. His weight depressed the cushion so much that we were thigh to thigh, and there was very little I could do about it. Of course, I could get up and move, but I didn't want to. I wanted to be exactly where I was.
"You stuck them in my mouth. What was I supposed to do?"
he asked with a sexy laugh that pleased my inner dragon. "I was trying to gouge out your eyes," I told him truthfully, with an unapologetic shrug.
"Now there's a lovely thought."
The heat that was generated by us touching jumbled my train of thought. I was close enough to his lips to lean in and kiss him. I smiled at the thought.
"What are you thinking?"
he asked.
"And don't say nothing."
His eyes were hooded, and the energy in the room was electric. I'd never wanted a man more in my long life. I didn't know if it was nature's way of bringing true mates together, or if it was something akin to love. I just knew it was overwhelming and wildly exciting. "I was wondering what your lips taste like."
"My lips would be very pleased for you to find out,"
He leaned in close, and until we were a mere breath apart. I closed my eyes and pressed my mouth to his. He tasted even better than he smelled. I opened my lips to his exploring tongue and felt such a sense of completion it made me dizzy.
"Fine," he whispered into my open mouth. "You were made for me."
His hands were everywhere at once, and I matched his frenzied need to memorize each other's bodies. Never had anything felt like this. It was as spiritual as it was carnal. With each touch, I was catapulted into needing more. He was like a drug.
"I need all of you," he demanded, looking as desperate as I felt.
"Yes," I whispered as I yanked my dress over my head. His hissed intake of breath was music to my ears, and I tore at his shirt and coat. "I want you to touch me, and I want to touch you."
"Ask and you shall receive," he murmured as he helped me with his clothes.
His hot mouth paved a wicked trail from my lips to my neck, and I shuddered with delight. With little bites and nips that made me see stars. I wasn't even aware that he'd somehow removed his jeans. We were now skin to skin, except for my barely there panties and his white boxer briefs. I knew we should slow down, but I couldn't remember why. "You work fast," I giggled. I watched his eyes begin to glow a brilliant green.
"I know what I want,"
he whispered huskily as his hungry mouth latched onto my breast and sucked hard. "Oh, God," I cried out as I arched into him, my body begging for more. "Shouldn't we talk first and get to know each other better?" His laugh went straight to the hot coil of need spiraling out of control in my lower body.
"Do you want to know if I put the toilet seat down or if I snore?"
Sure, I gasped out as he went to work on my other breast and pinched the sensitive nipple of the one he'd just finished with.
"Yes to number one, and no to number two."
His mouth moved greedily to my neck, and he bit down in a spot that sent little shockwaves through my body. I screamed and realized I had no clue what I'd just asked him, or what his answers were, and I didn't care. I laced my fingers in his hair and pulled his lips to my mouth. Our tongues and teeth clashed as the kiss danced in a dangerously sexual rhythm.
"Tell me now if you want me to stop. I can't guarantee I can. But if we go any farther, I won't be able to."
"I don't want to stop," I said as I crawled on top of him and straddled his legs. His hands clamped onto my ass and pulled me forward to feel his desire. I thought his temperature was hot before, but he was now positively volcanic. I rocked against his huge erection and felt my body go liquid.
"God damn, I want you so badly, I can't see straight,"
he growled as he tore my panties from my body and plunged two fingers into my willing body, while he pressed the heel of the same hand against my clitoris.
"Gorgeous,"
he said as my body jerked in orgasmic response to his expertise. "Kalai," I gasped as he hit the spot that made my vision narrow. "We can't mate yet." My dragon fire was dangerously close to flowing from my body and entering his. My words were rational, but my body was not on the same page. It was with my inner dragon 100%. I writhed against him like I was trying to crawl inside him. Control was nowhere to be found.
"Damn it, why?"
he hissed as he pulled back with Herculean effort.
"You want this as much as I do. Why are you fighting it?"
For a brief second, I had no idea why I was fighting something that was so perfect, so right.
"If you want to say something, for the love of God, say it now,"
Nikolai ground out, holding onto his sanity by a thread. And then I remembered. There was no good time to say it. And this was a particularly bad time. But the opening presented itself, and I had to take it. I should have spoken before we'd gone this far. What the hell was wrong with me? "I have a son, and if we mate, I need to know you won't kill him," I blurted out on one terrified breath. Time stood still as Nikolai's green eyes burned into mine, with an expression I couldn't decipher. I was unsure what was happening, but it felt very wrong. Nikolai's body stiffened in shocked rage, and he pushed me off of him in disgust. I fell ungracefully to the floor and buried my head in my knees. My heart shredded into tiny pieces. I should have trusted my gut. I was right, and everyone else was wrong. This dragon would never accept my child. Nikolai wasn't the man for me. Fate was a bitch, and she lied.
What exactly do you think of me?
He asked coldly, taking me by surprise as he picked up his clothes and yanked them on jerkily.
You think me capable of taking the life of a child because I want his mother?
My head jerked up and I stared at him strangely. What was he saying? It's been done, I said flatly. My father did it to my mother's first child from another mating.
You're comparing me to your father, to the man who skinned my sister alive.
He asked so calmly the hair on my neck stood up. His roar shook the walls of my suite, and his fire shot furiously around the room. I stood up and faced him as my own fire erupted and tangled with his. I was very aware I'd possibly just made an enormous mistake, but it was out on the table and he hadn't directly answered my question. Throwing my own needs and hopes to the wind, I asked my question, and I needed an answer. Would my son be safe with you? Nikolai barely moved as an icy coldness came over him. I watched him drift from me even as he stood only feet away. Tears blurred my eyes and I wanted to curl into a ball and sob, but I wouldn't. He would not see me break.
I am many things, princess. I am arrogant and selfish. I am not good with what humans would call polite social behavior. I'm jealous and possessive. And I don't like being played for a fool. I may be deadly, and trust me, I am, but I have never killed for any reason other than defense of my people or myself.
I'm a goddamn dragon, not a monster!
He shouted with so much anger directed at me, I blanched in shame. He waited for a response, but I didn't have one. My fire was extinguished. I was empty of everything and felt numb. Death couldn't be more painful than this, and I wished it would take me now.
Your disrespect, your lineage, your insane power, all that I could take. But this...
He shook his head sadly, then turned and put his clenched fist through my wall. The veins in his neck bulged, and he took a deep breath to regain control.
This I cannot take. Your son would have been as safe in my arms as any other child we had together. He is part of you, and that is enough for me. However, there is no need to test that theory because I no longer want his mother.
My knees weakened, and I fell back onto the couch and dropped my face to my hands.
Any woman, including the one fate decreed for me, that thinks me capable of the barbarism that your father enjoyed during his soon-to-be-ended life, it's not a woman I can love or want, ever,
he hissed in disgust. Nikolai, I whispered brokenly.
Stop. Please just stop,
he said, refusing to look at me.
Whatever we had, you broke it. You have killed fate with words so vile I don't ever want to hear them again. After we eliminate your father, you will leave. I can't see you or be near you.
He turned to go, and I wanted to crawl out of my skin. I was so sorry, but it was something I had to ask. Daniel's welfare was more important than mine. I'd grossly misjudged him, and I knew it. But time would not rewind. I'd made my lonely bed, and I would die in it. He was not the first man that hated me. I'd known hatred my entire life. I just hoped he would be the last.
We will work together civilly, Nikolai said tonelessly with his back to me. Because of nature, you will stay away from the men when I'm present. I'd rather die than kill one of my own over you. Junior says he needs a week to be ready. Stay out of my way and I shall stay out of yours. We can communicate through Lenny or my mother. Am I clear?
Yes, I whispered. You're very clear.
Good,
he said without turning around. And then he walked out the door and out of my life. Chapter 15. Oh my God, Maria gasped as I pinned her to the ground. I didn't see that coming. I want to try again. She hopped up and took a defensive stance. I'd gone on autopilot after my devastating exchange with Nikolai.
I hadn't seen him in days, but I'd stayed so busy that I fell into bed exhausted every night. I was training the dragons to fight like killers. It was what I knew best, and I was shockingly good at it. I fought and bled all day, and then at night I spoke to Daniel until sleep took me. I was existing for two reasons only: to kill my father and to see my son. Even the male dragons were in awe of my deadly skills, and everyone picked up the new methods I taught quickly. Lenny was always hovering nearby, but he hadn't spoken a word to me since I'd seen him with Junior. He just watched with knowing eyes and then disappeared when he felt like it. He was probably pissed at me, too. Whatever. I had more important things to worry about. Thankfully, Maria was a good student. I needed her to be ready and strong. If I'd known about her, she'd never have been so woefully unprepared to protect herself. A week wasn't long enough to teach her everything I wanted her to know, but it was all we had. Junior respected my desire not to talk about anything that had happened. After asking me once if I wanted him to kill Nikolai, he dropped it. If it was possible, I loved Junior even more. It was difficult to tell him that it was me, not Nikolai, he should kill, but I told him anyway. He laughed and pulled me into a hug that I desperately needed. We were on track to bankrupt my father. It was only days away now. It was the only thing that kept me going, along with my burning desire to see Daniel. A huge part of me wanted to run away from this place. But these dragons had done nothing to me. Everything that was wrong in my life was my own fault. I replayed the scene with Nikolai over and over again in my mind. Sadly, I knew I still would have asked him the same question. In my world, fathers did kill their sons. Soon I would come to terms that we were not meant to be. Right now, it ate at my insides like a cancer.
Dima, did you hear what I said?
Maria asked as she took my chin in her hand and raised my eyes to hers. No, I'm sorry, I didn't, I replied. What do you need?
I don't need anything, you do. When did you last eat? She asked with concern.
I couldn't remember. I'd avoided the mess hall and most open areas so I wouldn't run into Nikolai. The compound was huge, and I'd been successful.
Come on, you're going to eat or you'll drop. We have a son of a bitch to kill soon, and we need you.
Maria insisted as she dragged me from the training area. Let me go to my room and change, I said as I glanced down and winced at my blood-spattered workout clothes. While the training was relatively safe, it wasn't without a few wounds here and there. I refused to eat, looking like an axe murderer.
Fine, Maria said as she hugged my tired body. I'll meet you there in a half hour. If I don't see you, I will come get you and drag you over by your pretty red hair.
Can you speak to your aunt like that? I asked as a small smile pulled at my lips.
I just did, didn't I?
She answered cheekily and flounced off to get changed. I realized that all the pain was worth it because I now had my niece in my life. I'd only have her for a short time, but it was better than not having known she existed at all. Maria was right. I needed to eat. It was ridiculous for me to keep avoiding Nikolai. We'd be together in battle. I may as well get used to his presence here so it wouldn't be distracting when our lives were on the line. I rounded the corner to the mess hall and stopped dead in my tracks. There was an argument in full swing, and I was the subject.
Shit. You're a stupid asshole!
I heard Maria shout at the top of her lungs. Oh, dear God, please don't let her be yelling at Nikolai.
Why would she think differently?
She went on at full volume.
Most of her life, she's hidden among the humans while running for her life. Before that, she watched her father murder her mother and her brothers. Tell me, oh great and compassionate leader, how would she know to think differently?
My stomach dropped to my toes. My niece was accosting Nikolai in my defense. This was a clusterfuck. As much as I tried to move forward, my feet were stuck to the ground. Literally, I couldn't lift them. Someone touched my shoulder, and I would have screamed if Lenny hadn't gently put his hand over my mouth. He put his finger to his lips and indicated for me to be silent. He was all kinds of crazy, and I was all kind of out of here. Did I really have to relive the horror from a few days ago?
Let me leave, Lenny, I hissed. I don't want to hear this. I have to stop her. I fight my own battles.
Shh, child. Some battles are not meant to be fought alone.
You're an ass.
I've been called far worse.
I'm not like her father,
Nikolai bellowed angrily.
She should know that.
You are the dumbest man alive right now. I'd kill for a mother like her. Someone who put me before her own happiness? Hell, I want to be just like her someday. But because you're such a pig-headed jackass, she won't be around to see it.
Explain yourself,
Nikolai demanded furiously.
And refrain from calling me every foul name you can think of.
I'll call you what you deserve, ass-face,
Maria informed him rudely. She was definitely my niece. But I didn't want her to be banished from her weir for defending me. I wasn't going to be around much longer, and these people were her family.
I will ask you once again,
Nikolai ground out through clenched teeth.
Why won't that woman see you as a mother?
God, could he not even say my name?
Because when she turns 500, she'll die unless she's mated, you canker sore. She's from the fucked up royal dragon line. Apparently, we have some very stupid rules to contend with. I have to follow the same fucked up edict, but I have time. Dima doesn't because you screwed everything up.
I did no such thing,
Nikolai snarled.
She did that herself by putting me in the same category as the cold-blooded killer who murdered my sister.
He was correct, and Maria had overstepped her bounds. She needed to stop. But Lenny's magic had encased my feet. He was going to get an ass-kicking very soon.
If you'd pull your self-righteous head out of your dragon ass for a moment, you'd understand her fear,
Maria snapped. Maria's right, I heard Elena say. Dima has lived in fear her entire existence. She knows very little of love and trust. She's only recently found it, and it wasn't even with her own kind. It was the wolves and vampires that accepted her, not us. Kill me now. Was everyone going to put their 2 cents in about my pathetic existence?
I'd have to say you're pretty much a jackhole,
Junior chimed in.
You need to get down on your knees and beg.
She thought I would kill her son,
Nikolai shouted. Would you? Elena asked.
Are you out of your ever-loving mind?
Nikolai snarled.
I would never kill her son, my God. Does everyone think I'm a murdering imbecile?
No, my child, Elena said calmly. But with Dima's past, the question was fair. It doesn't reflect on you or your character. It reflects what she's gone through. You need to tell her you would never harm her child.
I did tell her that,
Nikolai growled and then swore viciously.
I might have added a few other things as well.
Awful things?
Maria demanded.
Possibly,
he admitted.
You are such a douche,
Maria added somewhat quieter, but still loud enough to be heard.
She will die because of you.
No, she won't,
Nikolai said.
I will find her and make this right.
Oh, God, no. I would not mate with him out of pity. I was better off alone. Everyone's time was up eventually, and mine was up in a few months. If I mated with him because he didn't want to be responsible for my death, my heart would wither and die. I'd much rather spend my final months with my friends and my son. An eternity with a man who despised me, but felt it was his duty, would be a death worse than the real thing.
Grabbing Lenny by the collar, I got in his face.
Let me go now, or I will come back and haunt your ass for the rest of your unnatural life, and trust me, it won't be pleasant.
As you wish, he said, and then disappeared in a cloud of smoke. I was free, and I didn't waste a second. I turned and ran as if the devil was chasing me. I knew I couldn't go back to my suite. That was the first place Nikolai would look. I didn't want to be cooped up inside anyway. I knew exactly what I needed to do. Tearing at my clothes, I let my dragon come out. She was giddy with joy, and I launched myself into the air with reckless abandon. I needed to fly. I needed to soar above the clouds and be away from all the anger and confusion. A couple of hours, that was all I would take. But when I came back, I would be whole. I would be a strong dragon who just happened to be a single mother. The wind and the sun would give me the strength I needed to get through the next few days. I didn't need a mate. I didn't want a mate. And I certainly didn't want a mate that was forced to accept me. My father needed to be taken down so he could no longer hurt anyone.
I wanted to hold my son in my arms and hear him laugh. I wanted my niece to visit me and meet her cousin. All of that did not include a man. Nothing I'd done worth anything had ever included a man. I was well aware that Daniel's father had helped in his creation, but he never even knew. We weren't trying for a child. The child came after he was gone. So the child was all mine. The wind on my scales was glorious. I would live out the rest of my days like the wind, carefree and wild. Chapter 16. I'd successfully avoided being alone with Nikolai. It was difficult, as everyone I knew was trying to make it happen. But I'd been running my entire life. I was very adept at getting away. My inner dragon was livid with me. But I was beginning to think she was more trouble than she was worth. I've drawn up maps of my father's compound. I haven't been there in quite some time, but he's not one known for change. We'll have to go on the assumption that these are correct, I said in a businesslike tone as I addressed the lieutenants. Have your people memorize the floor plans, but make them aware that they might not be 100% accurate.
They're also your people as well,
Nikolai added from across the table as he stared at me with frustration clearly written on his face. Semantics. They're people, and I don't want them to die, I replied to the top of his head. To all in the room, it appeared I was speaking to Nikolai. He was the only one aware I wouldn't make eye contact. As childish as it seemed, it wasn't. It was self-preservation on my part. I wanted him even more than I had before, and falling into his pitying gaze would break me.
It's all going to happen at once, Junior said as he typed away on his laptop. Everything will go down on Friday about 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'd suggest waiting until Sunday to strike.
Will that short amount of time be enough to throw everything into chaos?
Nikolai asked the same question that was on my mind.
Technically, no, but I've got national exposure on this puppy,
Junior replied with an enormous and evil grin.
Explain, Seth said.
King Jackal's wealth is very mixed in with mainstream human society's financial structure. That sumbitch is possibly the richest man in the world in the human realm. They have no idea about the dragon shit. I have buddies at every major news outlet in the world, and they plan to hit this mother humper hard about 2 hours after it goes down. It will be on every TV station, newspaper, and online presence from here to hell and back,
Junior said as he jumped up in excitement and knocked about 6 glasses of water and 3 computers off the table. The dragons didn't blink. After the first day when Junior accidentally took out the electrical system in his excitement about getting to fly on Seth's back, the weird turned a blind eye to the odd Mensa wolf's destructive ways. He was brilliant and clumsy. That was not a sin here.
How do you know all of these people? Are they wares?
Elena asked, sitting forward as she caught Junior's contagious glee.
Wares of every kind and a few humans in the mix, Junior told her. I game online with most of them. Basically, we're just a bunch of nerds.
Fascinating,
Lenny said with admiration for the wolf who had inadvertently demolished more items at the compound in 5 days than any dragon had in a year. So you believe that will cause his inner circle to splinter? I asked, still worried about the time frame.
It should do it. But a few geeks who want to join my secret online gaming group are CFOs of some of the top banks worldwide,
Junior explained. Okay, that's all kinds of weird. How does that help? I asked patiently. Junior's mind often worked so fast he tended to leave out details.
Oh, right, Junior said with a laugh and a shrug. Every major bank in the world he's connected with will be calling in notes immediately. They're all blocking the possibility of new loans as well and have promised to go public with the information immediately. It's going to get ugly real fast. I told the guys and one gal who I think might actually be a guy, not sure on that one, that whoever causes most shit to fly is an open invite into the club.
I'm interested in this online gaming club, Lenny announced. I want in.
Small conversations broke out in the room. Dragons did not mix with other species, ever.
Well,
Junior said as he sat back down, grinned wide and gave Lenny an assessing look.
We ain't never had a dragon in the club yet. Let me tell you something now, boy. You use any of your magic hoodoo to cheat, and we'll come down on your dragon ass like white on rice.
The gasps in the room were loud, and I bit down on my lip to stifle my laugh. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Nikolai do the same. Lenny was positively ecstatic. No one had the balls to speak to him as Junior did. It was clear he found it refreshing.
You have my word, Lenny said, extending his hand to Junior, who took it and pumped it with gusto.
All right, buddy, I plan to kick your online ass every Tuesday at 9 p.m. for the foreseeable future,
Junior told him. Lenny's delighted laugh rang out and startled the room to silence. It was heartwarmingly bizarre, and I was certain no one had ever heard him laugh before.
The units have been decided, Nikolai said,
pulling the conversation back to business as he examined the sheet of paper in front of him.
Unit A will be first in. It consists of me, Cade, and 25 others. Seth will lead Unit B. Lenny will lead C. My mother will lead D. Dima will lead E. Units B, C, D, and E will surround the compound and enter in 10-minute intervals unless the lieutenant is notified otherwise.
That's a bad plan, I said, staring at the table.
Really?
Nikolai demanded angrily, startled to be questioned. Unit A should consist of you, me, Seth, Cade, Lenny, and Elena. We send the strongest in first, and there's a very fine chance the others will not have to come in at all. Far fewer people will die, I said with no feeling in my voice, even though my insides were a riot of emotion. I firmly believed what I said. Nikolai's plan had deadly holes. The first battle would be the deciding factor, and it had to be the strongest. If my father found a weak link, he would exploit it and win. Would the other dragons even fight if Nikolai was taken prisoner and then ransomed for their withdrawal? If I were being completely forthcoming, which I wasn't, I would admit that I wanted to be there to make sure nothing happened to Nikolai. I did not want him for a mate, but I refused to let him die. I knew how truly vicious my father was, and there was a fine chance some of his most loyal would stay with him even in his financial ruin.
Dima is correct, Lenny said. I know what you're doing, Nikolai, but it's short-sighted, and too many will perish. You cannot save Dima and the rest of us by going in first. It will fail.
Nikolai's head fell back on his shoulders, and his upper body began to spark dangerously.
Fine,
he conceded angrily.
But Dima goes with Unit B.
Wrong, I said firmly, pushing aside the realization that he had the same instincts about my safety as I had about his. I know the compound better than any of you, and I know how my father works. Personally, I think I should go in alone. I have very little time left as it is, and getting rid of my father is paramount to my son's safety. I'm the most expendable here. I say let me go in first, and then the rest come in as backup.
You have a son?
Cade asked, shocked as the others murmured their surprise. I do. He's my world, and other than Maria and myself, he's the last of the royal dragon line. Only we three bear the royal dragon mark. My father wants us gone, so his rule will never be disputed.
You are not expendable!
Nikolai roared and threw his computer across the room. The dragons watched with rabid interest as I stood up, picked up the smashed electronic and tossed it in the trash. I walked up to Nikolai and looked him right in the eye. I am very expendable. I know it, and you know it. With my head held high, I turned and left him standing there speechless.
Hold on one cotton picking freaking second,
Junior shouted as he jumped up and paced the room in agitation, knocking pictures off the walls and lamps from their tables.
Your father doesn't have the royal dragon mark?
No, my mother did, and my brothers did, which is why Maria has it as well. The room stared at me like I had three heads, but Lenny just sat back and smiled.
He's not even the rightful leader,
Elena gasped in anger and paled.
Dima is.
I am no one's leader except my own, I told the room harshly. I want nothing to do with leading a violent and fucked up race. You people can decide on a democratic government after my father is gone. I want peace and to be with my son until I die.
Dragons would not survive in a democratic society, Lenny commented,
and put his hand up to silence the heated conversation that had broken out in the room.
We have been a matriarchal society for thousands of years.
It wasn't until your father killed your mother's true mate and forcibly took the crown that we've ever been led by a man.
This is true, Elena said quietly. All of it.
Including the sad fact we would destroy each other without some kind of ironclad but fair leadership in the form of a monarchy. Our history is what it is, and our future depends on embracing what is good and right of our past, but making it better. The monarchy will live on. Dragons, even in the Enlightened Age, will understand and accept no less.
I've seen this, Seth said quietly. I've seen the words carved in blood on stone and trees and in water.
What words have you seen?
Lenny asked.
Is it a prophecy?
Seth nodded and closed his eyes. A golden aura suddenly surrounded him and it bathed the room in a magical glow. The dragons all dropped to their knees, even Nikolai. I was the only one who stood. Seth's voice was devoid of emotion, yet it filled the room like a full symphony. A strange buzzing started in my ears, and I held onto the table for purchase. Part of me felt like I'd left my body and was floating freely in the room.
The true queen will wear the mark of the royal dragon line. She will link the nations, and by her side will stand the most physically powerful of us all. Together, they will lead us to prosperity and peace.
The silence was reverent, and I could feel the age-old magic. But all I wanted to do was scream.
No!
I said loudly and decisively as I gripped the table with white knuckles.
Prophecies are possibilities, not fact. No one knows the future. Even Seth will tell you that fate is fickle and can change her mind.
While you have a point, I respectfully disagree,
Lenny said, as the spiritual glow from Seth receded and the atmosphere went back to the way it had been only minutes ago.
That's your option,
I shot back.
Yes, Dima, it is,
Lenny replied, and then went to Seth, whose eyes were closed in exhaustion from sharing his vision. I refused to deal with any of this. It wasn't pertinent to the plan we needed to focus on. It was a fairy tale, and I didn't believe in fiction.
First things first, I said, cutting off any more hypothetical conversation. We need to get rid of the piece of shit in power, and then you people can figure out what's next. If my father stays on, all of these conversations are moot.
Dima is correct. Nikolai backed me in a curt tone. She's right about the new plan, and about focusing on the matter at hand. The meeting is dismissed. We will gather again this evening after you have gone to our people and apprised them of the situation.
Are we free to be candid about everything discussed today?
Kate asked. No, I said before Nikolai could speak. My son is off limits. Everything else is fine.
As you wish,
Kate said as he bowed respectfully to me. Thankfully, he was about 6 feet away. I was unsure if Nikolai still had his murderous issue where I was concerned.
Dima, you will stay,
Nikolai commanded as the dragons left the command room.
No, I can't, I said as I quickly made for the door.
We have strategy to work out.
You are one half of the leadership of this mission. Are you too busy to ensure the safety of your people?
He asked silkily, knowing he had me by the metaphoric balls.
I'll give you a few minutes, I ground out as I silently implored Junior to stay with me.
He'll be fine, little dragon. It's time for you to talk to him,
he whispered as he passed.
You'll be in battle soon. Talk now, before it's too late.
It was already too late, but I would stay as long as we discussed the mission.
Anything personal, I was out of here.
Chapter 17.
You heard the prophecy, Nikolai said evenly when the room was empty.
The prophecy is crap, I shot back as I took a seat on the far end of the table from him.
And you know this because you're a secret seer in your spare time?
He inquired coolly with raised brows. My groan was internal, but my sigh was audible.
Look, Nikolai, none of it's relevant until my father is gone.
Let it go and focus on what's real and in front of us.
You are in front of me, and you are very real, he said.
Part of me melted at his words, and part of me wanted to destroy him for uttering them. The boat had sailed, and we'd missed it. He was just reopening barely healed wounds. I'm in front of you because you forced my hand, not because I want to be here. I pressed the bridge of my nose and closed my eyes for a brief second as I considered what I wanted to say. But as usual, he beat me to it.
I'm sorry, he said quietly. I'm sorry I behaved the way I did. I didn't take into account your past.
Thank you, I said with sincerity. However, it changes nothing. I told you of my past when I asked you if you would harm my child. I don't see what's different now.
You accused me of being capable of killing your son,
he bellowed, then dropped his head to his hands.
I would never kill your child, or any part of you.
I really do know that now, I said with remorse, and I'm truly sorry that I used the words I did. But in the same situation, I would ask the same question. My words can't be erased, and neither can yours.
I don't even remember what I said,
he told me in agitation as he got up and rounded the table.
I was so angry that you would think that of me, I couldn't see straight.
You said that I killed fate with my vile words. You said I broke it, I reminded him quietly. Repeating the words tore at my insides like a hot knife shredding my internal organs. But we needed to get all of this out of the way to move on. And you were right. It's okay, Nikolai. We will both be okay.
You will not be okay,
he hissed as his fists clenched at his sides.
You will die.
Everyone dies eventually, I said with a brittle smile that came nowhere near to reaching my eyes. My time has come, and I will not prolong it because you pity me. I have far more pride and self-worth than that.
You think I pity you?
He demanded with an angry and confused shake of his head. I don't think I know.
There is a whole lot you don't know, Dima. You'd have more time with your son. You'd choose death over your son?
He asked with narrowed eyes as he continued to move into my personal space. I choose my son above all else, I said in an icy tone as I put my hand up in warning to stop him from coming closer. You should know that better than anyone.
I can give you all the time in the world with your son if you mate with me.
He stopped his forward movement, but I could feel the heat from his body even 5 feet away. I'd rather my son see me at my strongest than a broken woman with a dead heart because she tethered herself to someone that despised and pitied her.
And that's where you're wrong, princess. This is not easy for me because I'm rarely wrong, but I was very wrong,
he said as he ignored my hand and walked to me.
Stop!
The agonized cry ripped from my chest.
Lies are beneath you. I don't want you. This ended days ago. It's not up for discussion.
Lies are beneath you as well,
Nikolai said as he took my hand and pulled me out of the chair. We were face to face, and it was terrifying because it felt so right.
You still want me as badly as I want you. I can sense your desire and need. I can still taste your mouth,
he purred as he ran his calloused fingers over my trembling lips.
Those are hormones, I snapped and pulled away. Lust means nothing. It sucks, and so do you.
I rolled my eyes at my adolescent response and dropped my head to my chest. I couldn't win for losing at the moment. All I wanted to do was leave, but this had to be dealt with now. I wasn't strong enough to leave it hanging anymore. His laugh filled the room, and I fought harder than I'd ever fought not to smile. I succeeded.
Let's look at this a different way, Nikolai suggested, clearly not giving up. If you're willing to waltz into your father's chambers alone and possibly die for Daniel and our people, why wouldn't you put your pride aside to live for your son and all dragonkind?
He asked. His logic was quite sneaky, but I was tired of playing this game. Because you would be part of it,
I lied, even though it was brutally painful. Interesting, he allowed as they sat down in the seat next to the one he'd pulled me out of. I call bullshit on that, but we won't discuss that falsehood at the moment. What if I agree to leave you alone after we kill your father? You could live a happy long life with your son, and I would be nowhere in it.
Why would you do that? I demanded. What do you have to gain?
I'd sleep better at night knowing my true mate was alive and happy.
I slapped my hands down on the table in a rage.
We would be miserable apart, you idiot! If we mated and parted, it would destroy us both.
Your death will undo me far more, he growled.
We're not mated, I shouted. My death will not affect you. Are you daft?
As far as I'm concerned, we're already bonded except for the exchange of dragonfire. You are my every waking thought. Fate made us for each other. I do not accept your answer. I may have fucked up, but you have to give me the chance to make it right.
I can't do this, I muttered as I pulled on my hair and paced the length of the room.
This is insanity.
Not to mention it would be tragic if I killed Cade, Seth, and Lenny because they were near you in the battle and my target is supposed to be your father.
I thought you were fine with Lenny, I said perplexed.
Oops, my bad. I meant Seth and Cade, he amended and scrubbed his hand over his face trying to hide his smug grin.
He failed.
So now you're resorting to blackmail to get what you want?
My feet stomped and I stared at him with an open mouth. He was every kind of crazy.
It sounds a little harsh when you put it that way, Nikolai said, feigning offense.
Is there another way to put it?
I asked as involuntary deep pink and gold sparks began to fly from my hands.
I like gentle persuasion better, he explained with a careless shrug. It's a win-win for everyone.
Except you,
I told him as I aimed and shot a spear of pink fire at his head. The laugh that escaped his lips as he ducked my incoming shot made me shoot two others out of spite. The second one hit his shoulder, and his loud curse made me giggle.
So is this what I have to endure to make you smile?
He asked with a bemused grin as he tamped out the fire on his smoldering sleeve.
Possibly, I shot back flippantly. And it's not a win-win for you, Nikolai. It's a lose-lose.
That depends entirely on your definition of those two words.
He replied as he crossed the room and pinned my arms over my head so I couldn't get another cheap shot in. He pressed his hard body against mine, and it was all I could do to remain stiff and unyielding. He knew it, and it infuriated me. My nipples hardened to painful points, and I felt a dampness between my legs. I was tempted to fight fire with fire, rubbing up against him, and then leaving him high and dry. But I wasn't stupid. That would backfire in a big, bad way.
Everything I've said makes complete and total sense,
he whispered into my ear.
What I offer to you is simple. Take it. I know you want to.
My breathing was labored as I fought the war raging between my body, my brain, my heart, and my pride. He was right, and I knew deep down inside I would accept. But I was accepting for all the wrong reasons. I was going to accept because it's what my heart wanted. I'd fallen in love with the horrible man, the arrogant man who was willing to give up his own happiness for me to live and raise my son, the terrible person who wanted me to be happy so he could sleep at night, the despicable man who was blackmailing me so our friends wouldn't die while we saved our entire race from my father's tyranny, the man I was fated to spend eternity with. He would never know my reasoning. It would be my downfall. Giving him my body was one thing. Letting him know he also owned my heart would never happen. You win, I said.
What?
He sputtered as he stepped back and stared at me with delighted but wary shock. I said, you win.
Is there a catch?
He asked as he narrowed his eyes and pushed me up against the wall. No, no catch. He was silent for a moment while his eyes searched my face for deceit. There was none to be found because I wasn't lying. I would let him make me his, and I would make him mine. Parting from him would be hell. But I'd lived in hell on this earth for so long it really didn't matter. I would raise my son, and I would live. It would be an empty and sad life, but...
Come with me now, he insisted, as he grabbed my hand and pulled me toward the door.
Where are we going? I gasped as I tried to keep up with his long stride.
To my suite. I'm taking no chances of you changing your mind, he said tersely as he shoved the door open with his shoulder. You have a problem with this?
No, I guess not, I stuttered. My brain was all over the place and my inner dragon was jumping for joy.
Good. In 5 hours, you'll be mine.
Oh my God, it takes 5 hours to mate? I'd never heard that.
No, as far as I know, it takes a few minutes. It would take me 5 hours to make you come so many times you'll agree to a renegotiation of the terms.
Oh, God.
You can call me that, but I prefer Nikolai.
And thus my true mating began. Chapter 18. As Nikolai dragged me across the compound, dragons waved and cheered. I was mortified. We may as well have been wearing a sign that said we were off to live out a pornographic fantasy. Nikolai accepted the congratulations with a shit-eating grin and very few words. He was on a mission, and the mission was me. Practically throwing me through the door of his suite, he began to disrobe immediately. He was frantic, and little sparks flew off his body and danced on his skin. I was stunned to silence when the man was totally nude. He made all the Greek statues look like wimps. His perfectly muscled chest was lightly dusted with black hair that V'd down to his stomach and pointed to the most alarmingly large and beautiful erection I'd ever seen. My breath grew heavy and my need for him overwhelmed me. My breath came in small uneven pants and my mouth felt dry. Holy hell. I wasn't even sure if he would fit. This was so stupid, but there was no turning back now. My dragon would fry me from the inside out if I ran. Nikolai's decidedly masculine chuckle pulled my eyes from his lower region back to his face. His eyes burned green, and he approached me with the intent of ending my single life forever.
You're overdressed, he said as he solved the issue by stripping me naked almost as quickly as he stripped himself. Damn, you are perfection.
His hands roamed my body and I tried to steel my heart against him, but I knew it was too late. The only thing I could hold back were the words, and I would never give him those. Tentatively, I ran my hands over his skin and gloried in the way his body contracted as I discovered it.
Touch me like you mean it, Dima, because trust me, I mean everything I'm doing to you.
He said in a dark voice as his lips slid from my neck to my aching breasts. I tangled my fingers in his black hair and arched into his hungry mouth.
All rational thought was gone and I felt a lava-like heat begin to wind its way through my limbs.
Nikolai, I gasped as his mouth moved lower. Too hot, I think I'm too hot.
It's the dragon fire,
he hissed as he found the spot between my legs that made my vision go white.
It's okay, baby. I feel it too.
He worked my body like he'd known it forever, and I was certain the entire weir could hear my screams of ecstasy, but I didn't care. His mouth made me come so hard I sobbed, but we weren't done. We'd only just begun. My turn, I demanded as I pushed at him and made him lay back. His eyes were hooded with lust. He looked dangerous and sexier than hell. I ran my tongue along his skin and nipped at him as I moved down his body to happily return the favor. He tasted like he was mine, and my dragon writhed inside my body with satisfaction.
Only for a second, Dima,
he growled as he grabbed my hair and guided me to his cock.
The first time I come with you will be inside your body. Do you understand me?
I hear you, I said with a coy smile as I looked up at him and winked. But it doesn't mean I'm going to obey. Besides, my mouth is part of my body.
You're killing me here,
he said as his body jerked with pleasure when my tongue slid over the broad head. You're a big boy. I'm sure you'll be just fine. Again, I wondered if he would fit inside me, but I decided to cross that bridge when we got to it.